Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
So after her mom went missing, she was with her mom's sister for about a couple of days before they decided that they wanted us to keep her. So she talked with us like a week after the disappearance, and she was kind of like terrified to go by cars and stuff like that. So we would ask her like, are you okay? Like, what's wrong? She's like, I don't want to go. Like, someone's trying to get her and telling us like, don't put me in the trunk. Something gonna happen to me. And so we try to ask her, does she remember what her mom had on when she dropped her off at school that morning and stuff like that.
On February 26, 2021, 38-year-old Sherita Morrison was supposed to meet with her son after dropping her daughter off at school, but she never showed up and didn't answer her phone. It seemed as though something was wrong, but no one was sure. Later that day, it was discovered that Sherita didn't pick up her young daughter from school, and then the other shoe dropped. Sherita's vehicle was found over 20 miles away from her residence on the other side of Chicago, Illinois. A substantial amount of cash was on the passenger seat, but there was no sign of Sherita. The details surrounding Sherita's disappearance are murky and mysterious. At the time she went missing, she was approximately 3 to 4 months pregnant, which adds yet another layer to the enigma of her disappearance, with few details and much speculation. What we do know is that all signs point to the fact that Sherita did not disappear voluntarily, and it's been nearly 2.5 years since she vanished without a trace. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 394 of The Vanished, Sherita Morrison's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. Some weeks we bring you a multi-part series where we go through the case one detail at a time in order to give you a comprehensive look at everything we learned as we worked on a story. We wish we had enough information on every missing person to do that for you every week. But some stories do not unfold for us that way. Sherita Morrison's case is one of those, where we had to operate off of what a limited number of people told us and what we could find in the media. We reached out to police, numerous other individuals in Sherita's life, including many of her origin family members, but no one would talk. In fact, no one would even respond. So we're sharing with you the story that three of her nieces via marriage brought to us, because they're desperately hoping to find Sherita, with whom they all shared a close relationship. We started off with Rashonda, who lived with Sherita and was one of the last people to physically see her. To establish some basic information, we asked her to tell us about Sherita.
I'm related to Sherita by her son. Her son's dad is my uncle. The other side is really Sherita's real blood family, as in like her sister, niece.
So my auntie was a real cool, loving, smart, outgoing person. She really stayed to herself. You know, she was really more of a family-oriented person. She didn't really trust many people. She really always had a lot going for herself. She was in a previous relationship with my uncle, but as the years went on, they moved on with their life and got
whole new life for each other. He ended up getting him a fiance, and she ended up having her a guy, and having, which is her youngest daughter now, Gloria, end up having her. So basically, after she had her, like, we were getting more involved, more closer, even though she's always been in my life, but, you know, we were just getting more closer once she had her younger daughter. And that's when I used to go over there all the time and spend a lot of quality time with her. Because she, like I said, she's a real family-oriented person. She was more of a, like, introvert, only because like, her trust is real. She was heavy on trust. If we go to a party, she's not willingly going to be like, oh, yeah, come on, let's go hang out with these little people over here. You know, she's not one of them people. She's more of a, nah, we don't need nobody. Let's stay at home. Let's chill, you know. She also one of the people that call you up and be like, oh, well, what you doing today? Come over. Let's cook. Let's hang out. So a lot of the time, we would go out to family members' houses, family reunions, little get-togethers, parties. On the other spare time, really just be in the house. We used to just meet her and her daughter. We'll just drive around town, just do little family stuff to do, to find little restaurants with my sister to go out to, do stuff with the kids for kids' date. When I used to stay at her house, we used to always make our favorite food, pot roast, string beans and white potatoes, and watch a movie or something. But, like, she didn't really go out much, for real. And if she did go out, it's with family. It's not, oh, we're going to a club. It's, oh, I'm going to go over to your uncle's house.
Rashonda ended up living with Sharita through the nationwide shutdown due to the COVID pandemic. And that was a time that they really got to form a close familial bond.
Honestly, we really formed the best relationship over the couple of the before she went missing, the last little 2 years. So within that 2019-2021 range, that's when we formed like our best of bond. And that was because at the time of 2019, I was graduating high school. I was going on prom. I had a car. I had two jobs. I couldn't sit down. So at that time, this is when COVID had just hit. And this is when we all had to, like, basically get laid off of work and school and stuff like that. I live with my grandmother, who's 80 years old. My grandma didn't want me in and out the house due to COVID. You know, she didn't want to get sick. You know, I understand. So I used to go over my Auntie Sharita's house on 59th and Troop. It went from every other day, every couple of days, to every day. So every day up until she was missing. During that little time, we formed a way better bond. We, like I said, we used to stay in the house, cook all the time. She'd go out about 6 o'clock, go to the grocery store, get us some breakfast to make when we wake up. Just homebodies. Like, the whole COVID, we were homebodies. She didn't do much. Everywhere she went, I went. And we didn't do nothing. Like, it was just always family, house, home. It wasn't really much. So that's why I just feel like all of this that's happening, it had to be somebody close, because I know I was one of the closest people to her just days before she went missing.
We also spoke to Lashina, another of Sharita's nieces, who described her aunt to us as a fun-loving sister, more than an adult figure in the family.
That is my aunt from a previous marriage. Sharita was a very private person. She had a close inner circle. And that's pretty much who she stayed around. She was very funny, and she was very passionate about her daughter. That's something about her that really stuck out to me. I feel like she tries to make the best thing out of any situation. She's very understanding. She has certain goals. Like, her main goal was basically to make sure her daughter was smiling all the time.
A third niece, Zakoria, tied up the family tree for us by explaining how she, Lashina, and Rashonda are related to Sharita, and what she remembers so fondly about her aunt and her recently announced pregnancy.
I've been knowing her since birth. She was married to my uncle, and her oldest son is my biological cousin. She was just fun. The fun aunt did everything with all the kids. My grandparents and my mom and stuff, they've been knowing her since she was a kid, so she's pretty much been in the family the whole time. So she was just lovable. We all loved her. She was real outgoing, the one to get everybody up and party and just have a good time. She told us that she was pregnant So when she went missing, she was probably about 3 or 4 months.
So to recap, Lashina, Rashonda, and Zakoria are related to Sherita through marriage to her son's father. Sherita's son is a young adult, and after she and her son's father broke up, she remained close to his family and maintained the strong bonds that she had already developed with her nieces. Sherita was later in a relationship with another man and had a daughter who was 4 years old when Sherita vanished. It's believed that the same man was the father of Sherita's unborn child at the time of her disappearance, though we can't say that with any level of certainty, because Sherita went missing before paternity could be established. However, we know that's what she told people within her circle. This could be a key piece of information, because we know that statistically, pregnancy is a time when we know that women are at an increased risk of being victims of intimate partner violence. Homicide is a leading cause of death for pregnant women, and according to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, nearly 20% of women experience violence during pregnancy. By everyone's account, Sherita was happy to be having another baby. She was thriving despite the COVID pandemic keeping everyone at home, and she spent the majority of her time with family. Rashonda told us that her disappearance was like an unexpected slap in the face, and it just happened with no ugly foreshadowing to lead up to it. Here's Rashonda.
The day before, she called me. She told me that she was going to come to my job and buy the little stuff that I put to the side for her daughter. It was some Nike clothes, stuff like that. She's like, I'm going to come to your job in the morning. We'll tell you go to work. I said, I go to work at 9. She said, okay, I'll be there in the morning to get the stuff. So I said, okay, cool. So I go to work. I didn't hear from her. I text her. I'm like, you know, what you doing? But she never had text back. So I was like, okay. I just wait till she look at her phone. We got time. So I got off around, let's say, about 1 o'clock. I made it home. Now, this time, she usually supposed to text me and be like, what you doing? Come over, something like that. But she still didn't text. So I didn't think nothing of it. I just went. I had took a nap. I went to sleep. And then when I got up from my nap, the first thing I saw on social media, I saw it on Facebook first. The first thing I saw was a picture of her. And it was on her page, but her niece had typed the whole paragraph saying her auntie missing and that she might just had needed a break. So like her niece was saying stuff like she didn't think that she was missing, but she's saying she missing. It was a little confusing. So when I saw that or whatever, I didn't scroll no further. I just got off Facebook. I texted her. I said, they said you missing. And the message never went through. So I was a little confused. So I'm like, okay, now maybe it is a little serious. You know, I'm still not thinking nothing of it because I'm like, well, I just talked to her yesterday. So she probably just busy. Her daughter usually had her phone. So, you know, she probably doing something.
Rashonda said that she wasn't concerned at first, at least not that something terrible had happened and that she'd be talking to us 2 years later with her aunt still missing.
And then I get to getting back on social media. And then as I keep scrolling, everybody's saying, like, she's missing. I'm like, no, she's not missing because I just talked to her, like, it has been, like, 24 hours now, but I just talked to her yesterday as in last night, you know. We were just talking about linking up with each other, so I don't think that she's missing. Just give her a little time. Her phone might be off. Just something. I'm just coming up. At this point, I'm just coming up with any type of excuse because I just know she's not missing. That don't just happen. You're not just missing. So this is when my family, we all get to call. Everybody get to calling each other, asking, you know, who may have been the last person. I'm like, well, I know I was one of the last people over there and to be with her and to hear from her. So I don't know about this missing stuff. But then push comes to shove, her sister Aretha, everybody got to calling each other and said it was true. So at that point, I just was in complete disbelief. Like, nah, I don't think she's missing still. And then it went from a day, 2 days, 3 days to 2 years. So I just feel like with the type of person that I know that she is and the things that we were doing before she went missing, which was nothing, staying in the house and chilling and with her daughter and my niece, it wasn't too much that we were doing. The one day that I did not come over there, she's missing. I just couldn't believe it.
But what exactly happened? We had hoped to nail down a timeline, as we try to do in every case. But all we were able to learn was what people had heard. This is what we were able to find in multiple news stories that matched up with interviews. On the morning of February 26th, Sherita took her young daughter to school, or at least she was supposed to. Even that basic fact is thrown into question by multiple people. We did learn later that her daughter was likely a witness to something horrific, which we will get into later on in this episode. But as we worked our way through the day Sherita vanished, we found ourselves unable to establish even the most basic facts.
I don't know. I don't even think that my aunt took her daughter to a school. Like, where's the footage? It's all this camera footage that they're just not looking at around the school area. I found out she was missing the day of. I was supposed to buy a car from her. I was talking to her, like, consistently for 2 days via Messenger on social media. And when I called her in the morning and she didn't answer, then I joined the family group chat. She was in there, like, they were saying she was in there earlier. But when I got in the family group chat, she was not in there and I have not heard from her. And that was the last time I heard from her. So I probably spoke with her like 2 days before her disappearance. So they were saying like, ain't nobody heard from Sherita. And, you know, the rest of the family was like, you know, we talked to her this morning. But her immediate family is like, yeah, we haven't heard from Sherita. Our family is like, we talked to her this morning. She was in the family group chat. But they're saying they haven't talked to her. Then come time around school getting out, now they're saying like she didn't come get her daughter from school. And when I heard that, I just knew she was missing for real. Like, it was foul play because she didn't leave her daughter anywhere for real. She would pay me and my sister to babysit and then renege. She don't leave her daughter nowhere for real. So for her to leave her at a school, something had to happen.
In all of the unknowns about Sherita's disappearance, her family knew she absolutely would never leave her daughter behind or forget to pick her up. And this was the first real clue on the 26th of February that something had gone gravely wrong, and Sherita was unable to get her daughter from school for a reason. We asked Rashonda to tell us what she knows about that day, because she had been spending so much time with Sherita.
I noticed because I was there, I was living with her. She even had 2 phones, and I always had both her phones in my hand. So I seen everybody that called, everybody that text. And honestly, I felt like whoever did it, you knew I wasn't with her that day. Because if I be with her every day I get off work, I'm literally living here. And the one day I don't come over, you just disappear. You go missing. You drop your daughter off at school and go miss. No. Sometimes I'd be like, damn, I wish I could have just stayed another night.
Rashonda told us that Sherita's new SUV, a Porsche Cayenne, had only belonged to Sherita for a few weeks, and it disappeared along with her. And it was found after her disappearance outside of a residence in a far north area of the city of Chicago known as Rogers Park. Rogers Park is an area of Chicago that defies most of the stereotypes the city is known for. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, Rogers Park is a diverse neighborhood filled with a mix of low-income housing and historic and very costly houses that are occupied by the city's wealthy residents. But the demographic breakdown shows that the socioeconomic and ethnic diversity in this one neighborhood is a micro-representation of the entire city of Chicago, making it an extraordinary place to live. We have no evidence that Sherita lived there, though she was known to lease several residences at one time. We were told that Sherita worked in the home healthcare industry, and perhaps she had a home health client in the area. It's an interesting clue to her disappearance. According to other news articles, this is approximately 21 miles from where Sherita lived in the Englewood neighborhood, and it's unknown if she knew any of the residents who lived where her vehicle was located. We asked Rashonda what she knows about the car.
She didn't even have that car that long, less than a month, because she had a black Porsche at first, a black Porsche truck. And then I'm a little confused because on the recent news thing that her family did, the news people said her car was near a residence of somebody that she knew. I want to know who the hell was that.
Zakoria told us that the police did take the car in for a forensic examination and still have it as of this recording in May of 2023. We don't know if they found anything, but Zakoria told us what she knew about the car and where it was found.
We were just basically like doing search parties, trying to find her, trying to see where her last known locations will be. Have anybody seen her around the city? And they were saying like they seen her in the area of the school that she dropped her daughter off at. And then after that,
nobody seeing her. And so a couple of days prior, the truck that she was driving came up on the north side of Chicago, but she was nowhere in it. All of her money was laying on the front seat, probably about $3,500, and she was nowhere to be found. She normally does everything on her bank account, you know, mobile. She normally never carries that much money around in her car. She did nursing and home health care, so she worked with a lot of clients. And another thing was that the person living in the neighborhood where the car was dropped off seen someone get out the car, but it was not her. He said it was a male, a tall male, and he left the car right there. And the only how he noticed is because he parked it in the tow-away zone. But the car had been sitting there all weekend before someone actually came and noticed that it was her car. They towed it, and we never heard anything else about the car after that. The police still have it.
Do you need fresh groceries for the week but don't have the time to go to the store? Try grocery delivery from DoorDash. You'll get everything you want delivered when you need it right to your door. You've trusted DoorDash to deliver your restaurant favorites, and now you can get grocery delivery that actually delivers too. With thousands of grocery stores to choose from, you'll find the best in your neighborhood and boost your local economy with each and every order. You'll get exactly what you ordered, or they'll make it right. So sit back and enjoy quality groceries just like you picked them yourself. Want even more value? You can save on all of your grocery and restaurant favorites with a zero delivery fee on all eligible orders with a Dash Pass membership. With easy substitutions right in the app and best-in-class customer support, DoorDash delivers groceries exactly how you want it. My family loves DoorDash. It's been a total lifesaver. From those last-minute meal orders to when I just needed something quickly from the store, like when my son was sick, DoorDash always delivers. Get 50% off your first DoorDash order up to a $10 value when you use the code TV at checkout. Limited time offer, terms apply. That's 50% off up to $10 on a $15 minimum subtotal and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code TV. Don't forget that's code TV for 50% off your first order with DoorDash. We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, and you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. It stuck out to Lashina as odd that there was so much cash in the car, which Rashonda felt indicated that whatever happened to Sharita was personal. We heard varying amounts of money, and we don't know the exact amount, but we know that it was substantial enough that you wouldn't leave it sitting in the passenger seat of a car. Lashina also said that she doesn't think Sharita would have parked her car where it was found, and explained why she thinks that.
She carried about that much, but as you can see, they left it in the car. It was personal. The Porsche was found up north, and they say that it was 9 minutes away from the home care place that she was working at, but the car was parked in a tow zone, to me, which gives that it was staged. Who parks their car in a tow zone with $1,000 in it? In Chicago, before the corner of each block, they put like a tow zone on the end of the block so people won't park at the corner, and it collected tickets before they even towed it. They ticketed the car first.
Finally, desperate for a more cohesive timeline, We asked Zakoria to walk us through what she remembers from the day Sharita vanished.
When the situation first happened, she was supposed to be moving to Milwaukee to live with us. And she wasn't really like in contact with her biological family. So we were like basically the only family she had. So when the day came, her niece, her biological niece, called my aunt, my other aunt, and said that she had went missing after we had got off the phone with her that previous night. So we know that she was supposed to meet us up here in Milwaukee. And so they said she didn't pick her daughter up from school that day. So the 25th, which is the previous day, we had talked to her. We were on the phone all night. And my grandparents were moving back from Arkansas, and she was supposed to meet them up here when they got up here that morning. But they said she dropped her daughter off at 9 o'clock that morning at a school that she didn't even go to. And she didn't pick her up. So by 5 o'clock, her daughter was at the police station. But we didn't receive the call that she was missing until probably like 1 o'clock on the 27th. And so we were talking to her like on social media and all that. So once we found out that she was missing, you know, we tried to recontact her. All her numbers were disconnected. Her social media was all down, and we just weren't able to get in contact with her.
We kept hearing conflicting information, and it was frustrating. Had Sharita dropped her daughter off at school and something happened after? Some said that they didn't think that she had, but if she hadn't, how did her daughter get to school? Did someone else take her? We even heard that Sharita's daughter was dropped off at the wrong school. All of these discrepancies were confusing. We went digging to see what we could find about the day that Sharita vanished. The Chicago Police Department's website states that Sharita was last seen on February 26, 2021, in the 6900 block of South Troop Street. She was possibly driving a silver 2006 Porsche Cayenne, and we know that address is where Sharita lived. It doesn't say that Sharita was last seen at a school. Some news reports state that Sharita dropped her daughter off at Earl Elementary, which is not far from her home. But we don't know if that information has been confirmed by law enforcement, and if anyone actually saw Sharita dropping her daughter off there, or if someone else could have taken her to school. Sharita's sister told a local reporter from WGN9 that it was the school who took Sharita's daughter to a local police station after Sharita didn't pick her up. Sharita's sister also told news reporters that Sharita had been arguing with someone on the phone the night before, but she didn't know who. We also know that Sharita was supposed to meet with her adult son that day. He said that he attempted to reach her multiple times, but his calls kept going to voicemail. He told a local NBC affiliate that he drove over to her home, but she was nowhere to be found and the doors were open. The Chicago Police Department's website states that Sharita's vehicle was found in the 7400 block of North Winchester Avenue on March 1, 2021. And several news articles said that they found cash, a crowbar, and a jacket inside. Throughout our interviews, we kept hearing about cash, luxury vehicles, and multiple apartments. We wanted and needed to know where all of this money was coming from. We didn't get a straight answer at first. Here's Lashina.
No, she did not work. She worked on and off, but like she did home care, and that's what she was doing before she went missing. She was working before she went missing, but that's like not consistent. She had multiple apartments, but she was living with her and her daughter. Also, she was renting multiple apartments. At the time of her disappearance, I was known for her to be staying at her apartment from what they were saying on the news, 67th and True. That's the apartment that I known her to stay in, but she did stay other places. Like she stayed with her boyfriend in an apartment. They had an apartment together, but she had her own apartment as well. She had an auctions license. From what I know, she was able to go on auctions and purchase used cars. From my understanding, that's what she did for many of her cars. She had multiple.
There was something off about this response, so we pressed further, assuring Lashina that we're not here to make judgments about a victim or their family, and she told us this.
Basically, she was like a street girl, but me and Zakoria, we're young, so it's still stuff that she does hide from us, but you know, we have our own, we put it together. She was a street girl, like she messed with street guys, and that's how she was plugged for the cars and plugged for everything. I know that she's been around my family since about the age of like 12 or 13. Ever since then, is like we known her to be, you know, with the family. I'm going to say, I think it's really like scamming. I say scamming because her page was being used, was being shared with someone else. She was letting someone else use her page to get people to recruit to a scam. People were trying to fight Sharita because of that. It got dangerous. She stopped the girl from using her page. But I don't know. I feel like she was always able to get back in. But she stopped the girl from using her page. And that would like die down all of that drama. But that could also be a motive.
So we learned one possible theory in Sharita's disappearance, this alleged scamming that was going on. Though we don't know the details of that, Sharita's nieces were much younger, and Sharita didn't seem to share that kind of information with them. But we also learned about another possible theory. Sharita didn't know that the father of her young daughter, an unborn baby, happened to be married, and when she did find out at some point, she didn't get along with that man's wife. Zakoria gave us more information about the father of Sharita's then 4-year-old daughter.
Her dad, his name is Glenn, and that's who her mom was having another baby by. I think he's still incarcerated at this time. An altercation happened between them prior to him being incarcerated. I think they gave him 5 years, and then he was married. So she didn't find that out until, I'm not sure. His wife and her also had an altercation prior to her disappearance. He's not from the area, neither is his wife, so she wasn't, like, aware of everything that was going on with him. She met him through a mutual friend, I believe. When he came to visit the city, she met him through a mutual friend, and they hit it off. I don't know. I don't know him like that. More so of a, hi, how you doing, but not encounter him as much. Well, we do have family members who have come in contact with him and his family, and they're not anybody to hang around, you know, like dangerous, stay away from those areas type stuff like that. She really cut it off prior to her disappearing. Before she disappeared, they had a domestic violence dispute, and he beat her. That's what he's in jail for right now. They said that they talked to him, but they don't have any evidence to lead to that he was the one that did it, but they have him as a person of interest. So when she came with us, he was basically like trying to get her to go live with his mom, and she didn't want to go. And after that, he didn't talk to her anymore after that.
This led us to another important clue. We kept hearing and reading in the news that no one knew if Sharita had any association to the residence or people who lived in the residence near where her car was found. And then Zakoria told us this about the woman who was married to the father of Sharita's daughter.
I know her and my aunt didn't get along at all. After she found out about her, like she was just, you know, harassing her and just evil to her. She has a restaurant up north close to where my aunt's car was found. A male that lived in a building across from where her car was found said he saw a black male get out of her car, and it wasn't a woman driving. He was just like, it was a black male. He was tall, and he was probably in his late 20s, early 30s.
This is an important glimpse into what and who Sharita was dealing with at the time she vanished. And it makes us wonder if this man's wife found out that she was pregnant and sought out revenge, especially since a potential crime was clearly not motivated by money. If you heard our recent series on Bo Man, you remember that there was an entire episode of the series dedicated to discussing what may have been lost in what we called the divide. And that is present in Sharita's case also. The divide falls along similar lines, origin family and family via marriage. Lashina, Zakoria, and Rashonda are proof that like many of the families we encounter, we learn quickly that often the saying that blood is thicker than water holds no merit. And families form all kinds of interpersonal relationships. Lashina explained how a divide developed between Sharita's biological family and her family through marriage. and how that's made it much more difficult to figure out what happened to Sherita.
Their main focus is we don't talk to the police, but they keep talking about they got a detective, but you don't talk to the police. The two sides is her mom's side and our side. I am her niece from a previous marriage. My dad's sister has her daughter, and that's not blood. Like, that's what I'm saying. How do y'all looking for Sherita, but you gave her daughter not to her dad, to her brother's dad, sister? That's not adding up to me. I believe she had two cell phones. Everything was wiped out, her cell phone, and given to her daughter when they sent her out of town. Her phones aren't missing. I was told that the phones were just wiped clean and passed on to her daughter, one of them. I don't know which phone was wiped clean, and I don't know if that was the phone that they had, when they came out there to take her daughter out there, but I know her daughter has a phone, and I believe her immediate family has the other phone. Her whole Facebook is gone. I think someone logged into her account, like got her password and deactivated. The account came back up. When she first went missing, they deleted her account and everything. Then they posted her account, was posting her on it, making statuses like, yeah, we're going to help find you. Then the page totally disappears with nothing.
While Lashina said that the location of Sherita's phones is known and they were not searched by the police, Sikoria told us that she isn't sure if any family members have them or know where they're at.
Her cell phone, we don't know where any of her, she had two cell phones, a work cell phone and a regular phone, like her family. We don't know where any one of them is. And then a friend said they called that morning that she went missing, and a male picked up her phone, and that was the last time we were able to get through to her phone number at all.
While only Sherita's family via marriage spoke to us, despite many attempts to speak to people who have given multiple news interviews from her origin family, we kept hitting walls of silence. There are so many unanswered questions in Sherita's disappearance that we were unable to answer because we weren't able to establish communication with Sherita's origin family. They may hold the answers to so many of the questions that we have. Lashina told us that she really wanted that side of Sherita's family to tell us their story, but unfortunately that never happened, and we were left to piece together what was said in other interviews.
I just hope they tell you everything they know, and I hope they don't. There's no involvement in it. But, well, I got faith. I feel like Facebook is where everything really is. With her page being deleted, I feel like something was in there. Some type of threats or something. But most definitely, like, her Facebook being deleted, that's something that didn't make sense. Even if they had it taken down. You know why? They said it was money transferred from her banks. People were taking money out her bank account while she's disappeared, is what I was told, like, in the beginning. They were transferring money through phones. When I thought that was illegal to touch missing persons' money, magically, when Sherita goes missing, people getting BBLs and going on vacations they never been on and getting their family body done. I feel like the money that was in the car was just money, just hand money, pocket money. They wanted the real money in the account, in her bank. She kept money in her bank account, and she also, another person in the family, has an account that Sherita would use as well. So I think that some of her money was left to the person who account she was using. But, you know, they were sharing, like, she would send her money to do certain stuff for her. But she was just using that account to keep her some money separate in a separate place.
Sikoria told us what she knows about money being taken out of Sherita's bank account.
Her sister and her niece. Her niece is also one of the people that they have been looking at as well because of the stuff that she was doing leading up to the disappearance and after the disappearance. Just even now, to this day, the stuff that she does. And so it's just a lot of more stuff is coming out about what happened, and the police are supposed to have video evidence of her niece's boyfriend accessing her bank account, and it's just so much.
We still had questions about what really happened. Were people using Sherita's bank accounts? How did her nieces know about this? What proof did they have? Or was it a rumor? Rashonda gave us another perspective on just how deep this family division runs.
I'm going to be honest with you, because I don't know if nobody else told you, but that it's kind of like, it's a real divide between the family, because the whole Milwaukee side of the family, that's my real family, which is Sharita family by marriage. So the people that you see on the news that talk about her, that's her real family, her side. That's her sister and her sister kids. I feel like everybody been kind of being behind the bush but me. And I feel like I haven't had a chance to talk to nobody about my auntie for real. And I haven't got a chance to really speak on a platform, really to put it really out there for real. It's like everybody got their own side, how they feel about the situation on their social media, you know? And honestly, I don't think everybody be doing it out of sympathy. You ain't came out here to a search party, to nothing we did. I don't understand. I see her, Sharita's son, almost every day because we live like right around the corner from each other. So I see her son every day. I see her grandson every day. Like, and it kind of hurt because it be like, damn, I know I was with you every day. I was damn near living with you and your son and daughter because it was COVID.
Rashonda told us that as time has worn on, the rumors regarding what happened to Sharita have been brutal, difficult to hear, and hard to think about.
Man, the rumors, I'm not going to lie to you, the rumors are harsh. It's really harsh to me because it's like, this is my cousin's mom, like my first blood cousin mom. These are the people that I see every day that I've grown up with, everything. And to see that random people get on social media and say the things that they say, it's really hurtful when you know the person. Like, let me tell you some of the things that they were saying. Anytime my cousin, which is her son, anytime that he gets on social media, this was like day one and two. He'd be like, man, I just need some answers for my mom, or I just miss my mama. People, like, random pages, like, no pictures, no nothing, random pages will get under there and comment like, oh, you know you killed your mama. You know you and your cousin Larry Nita, you know y'all killed her, and that you want to act like you don't know what happened to your mom. Like, stuff like that. Like, you don't know what nobody's child is going through if their parent is missing. I don't care how old you is. That would hurt somebody's feelings every time this boy go to post. Then you got people saying, oh, find your missing mama. You too busy worrying about this and that. Find your missing mama. Like, that would hurt somebody. It really would. And then you don't know how he's feeling. Nothing. And then imagine he just had a son. And imagine his mother is nowhere to be found. And he just had a son. So now she got a grandchild out here in the world. And she haven't even met him yet. You know, it's like a whole line to it. People say, y'all hiding stuff. Y'all know y'all hiding stuff because y'all never went to the police for real. And we like, well, we actually have been. And, you know, it's only so much that they can do and we can do. So it's like nothing ever came to the light because nobody really had pressed the issue for real. Like when she first had went missing, I felt like everybody was so in distraught that she was missing that they didn't really take the real time to go to the police. Everybody just went to, oh, go to her house. Oh, go here, go there. You know, nobody took the time to stop and pause and be like, okay, well, first, let's get authorities involved. Then we can be investigated ourselves. Then other little stuff, like rumors, like, oh, maybe her baby daddy did it. Maybe this, maybe that. That had to, when they post stuff on, like, ABC 7 News and stuff, they had posted her little thing or whatever. And I was just reading the comments or whatever. People was like, oh, well, maybe it was her baby daddy. First of all, her baby daddy in jail. So he'd been in jail because before she even went missing. So, you know, that's how you know that people just come up with things to say. Like, I feel like that's not fair because it's like everybody is playing the guessing and pointing finger game. But, like, in reality, nobody really had wanted to help. Nobody really was trying to look for her for real.
While people are being silent and refusing to talk or even respond to a simple message, there's one tiny voice that we heard, and it comes from Sharita's daughter. In criminal cases, children often make the best witnesses because they aren't yet conditioned to measure how much of the truth they tell. We heard the other pieces of information that stuck out to us as clues. The restaurant owned by Glenn's wife on the north side of Chicago where the car was found. The fact that Sharita and this woman did not get along. Those little pieces of information stuck out to us in a way that we felt like something must have happened. And then Zakoria told us the most disturbing clue of all, that Sharita's young daughter was likely a witness to what happened to her mom.
I would say she's more so terrified. Like, we try to ask her about the situation, and she's not really, like, open to talk about it. Like, she just shuts down. We think she knows what happened, but she's just afraid to tell anyone. We've been trying to, like, get her a therapist and, like, help her express her feelings better, but we're still working on it. She knows that her mom is missing and that she's been missing for a while. She remembers that her mom was pregnant when she went missing, and she remembers a lot of details, but she's blocking a lot of things out so that she won't remember the bad things. So we try to, like, ask her, like, does she remember what her mom had on when she dropped her off at school that morning and stuff like that. So after her mom went missing, she was with her mom's sister for about a couple of days before they decided that they wanted us to keep her. So she traveled with us like a week after the disappearance, and she was kind of like terrified to go by cars and stuff like that. So we would ask her, like, are you okay? Like, what's wrong? And stuff like that. And she's just like, I don't want to go. Like, someone's trying to get her, telling us, like, don't put me in the trunk. Something's going to happen to me.
Lashina told us that this was something that stuck with her as well, since the day that she heard Glow, as they call Sharita's daughter, express this fear.
That's another red, huge red flag. So after I left college, I went to move with my dad's side of the family, which is like where her daughter resides. And her daughter is terrified of to get by a car because she's scared someone will put her in a trunk. And she's terrified of the police.
As time passes and memories fade, Sharita's daughter is getting older, and her nieces are trying to ensure that she gets therapy so that she can share what she remembers with a professional. Here's Zakoria.
Well, Glow is, she's like a regular kid, you know, now after the situation, like after the time has passed. So she's, you know, now she's pretty much like a regular kid, like bubbly and, you know, to herself, but it's still, she still has moments where she like acts out and sheltered and like closed off from the rest of the kids. And she acts out and she has her tantrums sometimes. She's just different from how she was with her mom. Something is off more. She tries to tell us sometimes in the way she just acts out instead of expressing how she really feels. It's sad because I feel like she should have her dad. You know, she wants to have a relationship with her dad. Like, she tries to, like, get in contact with him, but he just doesn't want to talk to her, especially after what she's going through. So when she sees pictures of her mom, she'll be like, I miss you, Mom. And she's kind of so much more, like, being more emotional about it now that she's getting older as opposed to when she first came.
Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one app. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from bestsellers and new releases to celebrity memoirs, mysteries, and thrillers, motivation, wellness, business, and more. Audible is the home of storytelling. You'll discover thousands of podcasts from popular favorites to exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, theatrical performances, comedy, and exclusive Audible originals from top celebrities, renowned experts, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including latest bestsellers and new releases. Members also get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and podcasts. You can download or stream their included titles all you want. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. The newly included selection of titles makes Audible membership so much more valuable and gives all members a chance to discover new favorites and new formats, like the exclusive words and music series or a podcast. Right now, I'm listening to Firefly Lane by Kristen Hanna. Let Audible help you discover new ways to laugh, be inspired, or be entertained. New members can try it free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500 to try it free for 30 days. audible.com/MIA. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. You may remember our coverage of 18-month-old Vignette Teague in episode 206. Vignette disappeared from the city of Chicago in 1983. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem the police department has done much to change its treatment of people of color over the course of the last four decades. The police didn't respond to our request for records or an interview. That being said, it's impossible for us to know what the police are doing because of this family divide in Sherita's story. Here's Lashina.
Y'all start seeing posts saying that she was depressed and she had a boyfriend in Kankakee. And I'm just sitting here like, why would you be putting this out? I don't believe it's true. I have never known nothing like that. But even if someone did believe that was true, why would you be pushing that out to the media so the police can not look for her? I think two police reports were made. I believe one of my aunts made a police report from Milwaukee, and I think a police report was made in Chicago by her immediate family. I know Zakaria told me that they called up to the police station, and they said that they haven't heard from immediate family since the whole thing started. But they're talking about they've been talking to a detective.
I'm not going to say Sherita was scared because, no, I feel like she would have said something to somebody. But I do feel like she know who her enemies were, and I'm just trying to figure out why everyone's flipping the script now that she's gone. Some things weren't known facts. The lies, they unravel. They always do. Like, they said they were paying a detective. The girl said she paid a psychic. The psychic said she never paid her a dime. So what were you lying for? What were you lying for? She did something for your aunt for free, and you're telling the world that you paid her to do it. So you can make it seem like you're on her side.
Zakaria feels like part of the reason the investigation has hit a wall is because police don't have cooperation from everyone in Sherita's family and aren't going to go the extra mile to try to get people to talk.
Since the beginning, it's probably been seven different detectives. So her biological family are not cooperating with the police. We have been contacting our own detectives because we have her daughter here, so we really need to know what's going on. Where is she? We reach out to the media, reach out to the detectives and all that. And so the detectives were basically like, they need biological family's cooperation. So her sister was supposed to be meeting with the detectives to provide, you know, all the information that could help with her disappearance. But once the detective called us back, they let us know that none of the biological family was cooperating. So there's really not too much that they can do.
As we wrapped up our work on Sherita's story, we asked each woman we spoke to for her thoughts and what they wanted our listeners to walk away with. Each had their own distinct and different feelings about what happened to someone they love and cherish so much. Someone whose child they were looking forward to celebrating the birth of and meeting and welcoming into their family. Here's Rashonda.
Look at all these people that have been, they get found in Lake Michigan and in the woods. Everybody coming up but my auntie. Like, I just feel like that's because somebody already knew something and didn't want to put it out there. I just really feel like this was really an inside job. After all this stuff that didn't happen, I just feel like at this day and age, it's 2 years later and it's still like everybody on hush mode. So I feel like, for one, yes, it was an inside job. For two, do I believe it's somebody in my family? I say yes, or it's somebody, a friend of the family. That's how I really feel, because there's no way honestly, I've never, ever in my 21 years of living, I've never been around nobody that close and something has happened to them, like missing, dead, things like that. I never experienced that. So when I did get the call and they were said, like after day two and all that, and you know, she really was missing, it was like, nah, I just, like, right now to this day, I'm still in disbelief. Like, nah, she just gonna pop up. She, man, I don't know. Like, I just don't see that happening, especially when I was just with you, breathing your same air every day. We, at this point, we just need some type of closure, because I'm tired of people pointing fingers at other people and really don't even know her like that, you know? And I feel like, you know, that's what's been the issue a lot of the time, too, is like, behind some of those trolls and people that's commenting, I feel like the people that's randomly commenting that shit, I feel like they the ones that know something. Her sister has said on the news, like, oh, well, you know, I just need them to at least find her body. What you mean, find her body? Why y'all hoping that she dead? Y'all don't got no hope, no faith, no nothing. I'm not saying her sister saying she ain't got no faith, but it was like when she said that, I was just, if anything, this your sister, you would want her to be alive, injured, alive, but not dead. I do feel like something is going to come to the light, though, because it was just so much. Man, sometimes I don't even be knowing what to say. I just be seeing all that stuff on Facebook and what people be mean and saying. I just be like, man, I just wish you just pop up. Something just pop up. When this first happened, like day one through the first month, as days was going on and going on and going on, I just thought about it. When I said I couldn't sleep for damn near 2 months, I couldn't sleep. Just thinking about my auntie, I can't sleep. And like the more I just thought about it, some of the things, like I might be out and I hear a song that me and her listen to every day we in the car. And I just be like, man, like, where are you in the world? Like, just help me find you. I don't know, like, give me a sign. And I always thought, like, man, I know somebody knows something. And then for two, I was scared. Like, I was scared to say something. Like, I was scared to tell my family members that I damn near was living with her. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know, this is my thing. I don't know who know what, who did what. So, shit, if all I know, you probably want to come after me, because y'all know I'm the one that be the closest, you know? Like, that's what I was thinking. At this point, I'm scared to say something. Like, honestly, I wanted to go down there and make a police report myself, but I was scared, because I'm like, man, I don't know who did what, who might say what, who knew I was with her every day. Like, you know, because I felt like whoever did it, you knew I wasn't with her that day.
Like Rashonda, Lashina is disturbed by the behavior of Sharita's origin family and their activities that seem dishonest or don't add up. Would this be what Sharita wanted?
When I was living with my dad, I'm sitting on the couch. He like, yeah, because if anything ever happens to you, it's going to go up. I'm like, it didn't go up about Sharita. So I know it ain't going up about me. And she's been around longer than I have. And it didn't go up about her. So it's not going to go up about me or the next person who come up missing. We're nieces and we're the youngest. Y'all grown and doing all of that, but we the ones who got to put it up. I just want her to know that I was lucky to have her. When I had mother issues, that's who house I came to. I'm just ready for this all to be over. I'm ready for us to find her, ready for everyone to have closure and be at peace.
Zakoria reiterated what Lashina and Rashonda had said to us, that they just want answers, and they deserve those answers just like everyone else with a missing loved one. And they believe they know who can provide those answers.
I don't know what really happened, but how we're looking at the situation, the niece, Glenn, his wife, all of them were involved. Simply because it was like they were in her bank account, in her phone records, all of that after she disappeared. And we're just more so trying to figure out what really happened. I feel like they set her up. And they followed her when she took her daughter to school, and they got her and they tortured her, and they got access to all her bank accounts and her phones and all that. Now we're just trying to put together the pieces. That's all I can think about. She was saving a lot of money, and especially in her bank accounts, and now her bank account, you know, her phone has disappeared, but her bank accounts are still being used, even now to this day. They're not really so much on it as they should be. We just lost, and we just need answers. We're just trying to get help, just especially for her daughter. And seeing as though her biological family is not cooperating, we're trying to do all that we can. Like, I've been putting out so many flyers, making so many posts, like doing, making so many phone calls, just trying to get somebody to hear her story. Her niece deactivated all of her accounts, all of her social media accounts and all that. So now we're not able to like get any of her recent photos or anything like that, besides the ones that we have personally that we took with her.
One frustration that we had while covering Sherita's story was that it was nearly impossible to pin down verified facts. Simple details were reported differently across news articles. Then we heard information about things like Sherita's phones, and her own family had given us conflicting information. We heard that family members had the phones, and then we heard that the phones were missing. We were also told that her social media was deactivated, and her nieces believed that it was a niece on the other side of the family who had done that, and they also believed she was the one accessing Sherita's bank accounts. But we can't offer you any proof of any of those things. One major source of frustration was the subject of Sherita's boyfriend or former boyfriend, who was also the father of her daughter and believed to be the father of her unborn child at the time of her disappearance. We heard that there was a domestic dispute between the two of them, and then later between Sherita and this man's wife. This information sounds like it could be very significant. Were they upset that Sherita was pregnant again, and that was a motive to make her disappear? We also heard that this man was incarcerated when Sherita went missing, and we worked to try to confirm that. However, we weren't able to establish that he was incarcerated on that date. We found that he had been in the custody of the Illinois Department of Corrections since June 3rd, 2021, but that was a few months after Sherita had disappeared. It's quite possible that he was incarcerated elsewhere, and that just wasn't coming up in our searches. Glenn has a lengthy criminal history. In 2004, he received a 20-year sentence for second-degree murder. He was later paroled and arrested several times in Chicago between 2015 and 2019. His arrests were for things like drug charges, assault, battery, and weapons charges. They labeled him a habitual offender. Whether he was incarcerated or not, we hope that he and his wife are looked into thoroughly, because Sherita's pregnancy seems like it could be a likely motive. But there were also other aspects of this story that stuck out to us as well. What about this scamming that was mentioned? Or the accusations about Sherita's family spending her money? We found it difficult to reconcile what we heard about Sherita's daughter, who was just 4 years old at the time. And after her mom disappeared, she was expressing a fear of being put into a trunk. Did Sherita's daughter witness someone putting her mother into a trunk? If she did that person spare Sherita's daughter and drop her off at school? If that is true, who would have made the decision to spare her life, at the risk of her implicating them in the future? Could it be someone close to Sherita who cared about her daughter? Sherita's daughter is now in the care of her family by marriage, and they're doing their best to fill that hole that is left in Sherita's absence. They're trying to get her the help that she needs, and hope that one day she will speak about what she saw that day, and just maybe that will lead to finding Sherita. So what happened to Sherita Morrison on February 26, 2021? What came of the police search of Sherita's vehicle, which is still supposedly in their possession? And why didn't they take her cell phones? If we go down the path of why didn't they, we have to ask, why didn't the police seemingly do anything to look for Sherita? She's obviously missing under more than suspicious circumstances. In an abandoned car with cash inside and a child left at school, seems like more than enough reasonable suspicion to treat her case as though she met with foul play. At the time this episode was recorded, no one had been publicly named as a person of interest by police, and no one had been arrested or charged in relation to Sherita's disappearance. At the time of her disappearance, Sherita Morrison was 38 years old. She was approximately 4 foot 11 inches tall and weighed around 140 pounds. She had long, straight black hair and brown eyes. She was several months pregnant at the time of her disappearance, which would have meant that she was likely due to give birth in July or August of 2021. That child would now be a year and a half old by our best approximation. If you have any information about Sherita's disappearance, you're asked to call the Chicago Police Department Area 1 SVU at 312-747-8380.
And I just feel like we're going to get answers, but I just feel like it's just not going to be right away though, because it's too much pointing fingers and trying to, after watching so much of fucking Criminal Mind and Law and Order and stuff like that, they always tell you like the chances get small after the first like 48 hours. only reason why I feel like she's still alive out there somewhere is because how is it that all these people is steady getting found in lakes and ditches and everywhere else on the news every day, but she still ain't got found yet? I feel like she's probably somebody like held her captive or something. And if they did kill her, she's somewhere hidden real good.
That brings us to the end of episode 394. I'd like to thank everyone who spoke with us. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to join in on the discussion, there's a page and discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram. If you like our show, please give us a 5-star rating and review. You can also support the show by contributing on Patreon. Be sure to tune in next week. We'll be covering a case from Arizona. Thanks for listening. Hey Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.